Good morning. Welcome to Shattering This, the program that is devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who have either come to know or are at least open to the realization that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions, as well as the media, are corrupt, even counterproductive. I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. Yesterday, we were telling a story that I am hopeful that over time will be one of thousands that we share on this program that will encourage those of you who still have a functioning conscience, those of you whose souls are still operative, those of you who are willing to process information and be discerning about it, exercising good judgment, that you will come to hate, and that you will learn that and discover, appreciate the fact that the most compassionate, the most loving, the most moral, the most appropriate, the most beneficial thing that we can do is to hate those things which are destructive, deadly, deceitful, and counterproductive. And when we hate those things that are destructive, that are deadly, that are deceitful, that are counterproductive, then we are in a position to expose them, to condemn them, to isolate them, to marginalize their ability to be destructive and to be deadly and to be perverted and to harm our children. And then those who embrace this distancing from those doctrines, those institutions that are reprehensible, then many of them will be open to taking that final journey. And the final journey, the ultimately most valuable journey, the most loving, life-giving, enabling, and empowering journey of all, is not just to walk away from human perversion, from human corruption, from human deceit and death, but to walk to life, to empowerment, to enrichment, to a family relationship with Yahweh by way of His Torah guidance. And we do both parts on this show. So we're hoping that you come with us. Now, in that regard, I want to continue the story of Kayla Mueller, told by a different news agency, this one by Reuters. It reads that Kayla Mueller of the U.S., an aid worker, was killed this year while being held hostage by Islamic State militants. By the way, you know, Islamic State militants is almost verbose. It's redundant. Every member of the Islamic State is a jihadist. It's the Islamic term for a holy fighter in Allah's cause. There is no jihad besides the jihad of death, the jihad of terror. And keep in mind, not only is jihad a call to arms, a call for Muslims to kill non-Muslims and to kill Muslims who disagree with their interpretation of Islam, Sunni via Shia, for example. The reality is that jihad is never anything different than fighting. Jihad is never once presented in the Quran or in the Hadith in any manner other than embracing all weapons at one's disposal and attacking and killing others. But it's worse than that. And it's hard to imagine that Islam would, or any religion, would have as its highest, most noble calling the killing of others. But jihad is the highest calling in Islam. Muhammad was repeatedly asked, what is there that's more important than us engaging in jihad, which is exclusively fighting in Allah's cause? And he said, there's nothing that rivals fighting in Allah's cause. He says, as a matter of fact, jihad is more important than everything in the universe combined. Now, that's bad. And that may be worse. But there's something even far more destructive, far more perverted, far more devastating about Islam and its preoccupation with jihad, holy fighting in Allah's cause, than those two things. And that is highlighted in this story. That almost universally, now in the case of Muhammad, it was 100% of the time. And he's the basis of Sharia or Islamic law. And since that time, it has been pervasive in the range of about 90 to 95% of the time, maybe higher, that Muslims attack defenseless individuals. Muslims very seldom, never in Muhammad's life, and he led 75 terrorist raids, and seldom thereafter, do Muslims attack armed forces. You don't see Muslims going toe-to-toe, army-to-army very often. They will on occasion, but those are rare occasions. Muslims, some 90 to 95% of the time, attack defenseless civilians. They'll kidnap and then torture and rape young women like Kayla Mueller. She wasn't armed. They will kidnap and torture journalists. They're not armed. They will go into a community of Persian Zoroastrians, and they will isolate the men and kill them and enslave the young boys and then turn the girls into sex slaves, all because the Zoroastrians are unarmed. They did the same thing to the Christians because the Christians are unarmed. 100% of Muhammad's 75 terrorist raids were against civilians. Muslims are cowards. They attack the defenseless. That has always been their nature. And so this preoccupation with attacking, with torturing, with killing, with raping, with enslaving others in the name of the wannabe God Allah and the wannabe prophet Muhammad, neither of one is what they desired to be, is devastating because it's always perpetrated under the classic definition of terror, of an armed uprising to advance a political or religious agenda against civilians. Now, under those circumstances, since Muhammad justified and made righteous from a Islamic perspective, halal from using the Quranic term, rape, pedophilia, kidnap, ransom, the slave trade, torture, mass murder, overt lying, robbery, arson, crucifixion, beheadings. Since those are all behaviors that Muhammad engaged in, claimed to be that they were Islamic, claimed that they were pleasing to the wannabe God Allah. And when you see these behaviors perpetrated in the name of Islam today, following Muhammad's example, following the letter of the Quran, following the example of the Hadith, and you do not become enraged against Islam, then you're immoral. Then you have a broken conscience that doesn't do you any good. If you're part of the media and abiding by political correctness and not holding Islam accountable, not engaging in hateful speech against Islam, then you're a useless human being. You're incapable of exercising good judgment. You're incapable of forming a rational conclusion. You're incapable of being moral. You're pretending to be caring. It's not enlightened. It's not correct. You're aiding and abetting the abusers. You're causing more and more Kayla Muellers to be raped. And make no mistake, the reason Kayla Mueller was in a position to be kidnapped, to be enslaved, to be tortured, and to be raped by the head of the most popular Islamic organization in recent memory, maybe of all time, the Islamic State, and its founder and leader, Abu Baghdadi, Ibrahim Abu Baghdadi, is that she was indoctrinated in America's educational institutions in Arizona and by her parents in political correctness. She was a socialist secular humanist working for humanist organizations, and she was incapable of exercising good judgment. So she put herself in harm's way for nothing, because she could not be discerning. She could not be discriminating. She did not understand the nature of Islam. She didn't appreciate why you need to isolate and condemn doctrines like Islam as opposed to trying to help them. Now, we have another problem, and that is America's National Police, the FBI. The FBI knew that Baghdadi had tortured her. They knew that he had routinely raped her. They knew that he had done so while citing the Quran as justification. And they knew this way back in early June. But they didn't tell Americans. What else are they not telling us that they know? And why are they not telling Americans these things? Well, the answer is pretty simple. They don't want people to be informed, because there's still some people out there that can process information who are exercising good judgment and who will hold Islam accountable for the acts of its most famous individual, its most revered individual, Baghdadi, the head of the Islamic State. They will say that when Baghdadi is citing the Quran as justification for torturing and raping a prisoner, that while he is interpreting the Quran as the Quran is written, as Muhammad set the example, that the problem is with the religion itself. And therefore, it should be outlawed. It should be banned. It should be condemned. Reads that this is from a direct quote. He says, "We can confirm that the Mueller family learned in early June of Kayla's treatment from the FBI." So we don't even know if the FBI learned in early June or in May. But they didn't tell us in May. They didn't tell us in June. They didn't tell us in July. And they wouldn't have told us in August had the information not leaked. ABC News first reported al-Baghdadi's sexual abuse of Mueller, and U.S. officials speaking on the condition of anonymity confirmed the report. ABC News quoted Mueller's parents as saying that they were told by the U.S. government their daughter was the property of al-Baghdadi, end quote. You know, there are so many women talking heads on CNN, the BBC, ABC, Fox, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, HNN, that pretend that, you know, we've heard about the abuse of the Yazidi girls and their rape, and we've heard about the Nigerian girls and the rapes, and we've heard about the Christian girls being kidnapped and raped. Well, they don't talk too much about the Christian girls being kidnapped and raped. They've heard about, in Cairo, Christian girls being kidnapped and raped by the authorities. But we don't hear much about that either. But when they go on the air, in fact, I heard one that was sent to me by a good friend, Richard, how sickening he was that the person who wrote an article for the New York Times on the rape of Yazidi girls by the Islamic State says, oh, it was such a difficult job because of the horror stories that they told. And she was brought in as an expert on this subject. And the quote from the girl was that, The part of it that lingers with her that is the most repugnant is the stench of these jihadists, of these Muslims, as they would routinely rape her. He says that stench as they approached me, the smell of their breath, the smell of their sweat, their stink, their stench as they approached me naked, myself being naked, and then raped me, will haunt me the rest of my life. And they came on and said, you know, as women, this really is horrifying. You know, we feel so sad for this girl. And they're wringing their arms, wringing their hands over the victim, not the victimizer. They're not enraged against the rapist, the one that stinks to high heaven. They can't smell the skunk. They can't smell the sewage. They can't smell the swamp from which he emerged. And they're not hateful of the religion that drives these perverted Muslims to cite the Quran, to cite the Hadith, to claim that what they are doing is justified. Yes, Baghdadi said that Mueller was his property. She was a sex slave. Mohammed had sex slaves. The Quran speaks of sex slaves. And according to this perverted religion, what he was doing was right, and that she was exactly what he claimed her to be, as is every Muslim woman. Every Muslim woman is the property of Muslim men. Why is it then that those who are feminists don't speak out against this horrific evil? Political correctness. It's immoral. It's invalid. It's aiding and abetting the abuse of women, turning them into property, so that the stench of Islam will haunt them the rest of their lives. If we're not angry, if this doesn't bother you, why are you taking your next breath? What value do you have to this world? What good are you? It is the Quran and the Hadith that make women the property of Muslim men. A Muslim woman can't marry a non-Muslim man. She belongs to the Muslims. But a Muslim man, he doesn't belong to anybody other than Allah. And he can do whatever he damn well pleases. It's so perverted that when a woman is raped, or a little child, I mean, Muhammad was a pedophile. When he was 53, he was having sex with a 9-year-old girl. When he was 50, she was 6. And it wasn't the only little child that he had sex with. The victim, whether they be child or adult, of an Islamic sexual assault, of rape, of pedophilia, is the one who is punished. Is the one who is breaking Islamic law, not the perpetrator. And the same thing holds true in the way the press covers these abuses. The Islamic State said in February that Mueller of Prescott, Arizona, was killed when Jordanian fighter jets bombed a building where she was being held outside of Raqqa. By the way, it's interesting that, you know, the Jordanians engaged because they had one of the members of the Jordanian royal family. These are just thugs that are in charge of, I mean, they're dictators over these fiefdoms, the Islamic states. Jordan is a fiefdom, personal property of the thugs, the dictators, and their extended family. Anyway, one of the distant relatives of Abdullah, the thug that is the king of Jordan, was shot down as they were doing a bombing run, and so the Jordanians decided they would be belligerent and did more bombing runs inside of Syria. And what's interesting about that, of course, is that everyone in the Muslim world hates Jordan. Jordan is liked in the West, but it's hated, despised throughout the Islamic world. And the most despised people in the Islamic world are actually not the Kurds. And the Kurds, you know, are hated by the Turkish Muslims, they're hated by the Syrian Muslims, they're hated by the Iranian and the Iraqi Muslims. But the most despised are the Muslims that falsely go under the name Palestinian. And Muslims rally to their cause, even though they despise the so-called Palestinians, because the cause is to eradicate Israel, and they can be put up in a world that is unthinking, in a world of political correctness where everyone's view of history and of current events is incorrect. They can be put up as a blight on the credibility of Israel and as a reason to make Israel vulnerable to Islamic attack. And in this regard, these so-called Palestinians are the majority of Jordan. And with promises from the Islamic State that they would be empowered, you know, you can't trust the Islamic State because Muslims lie, but the Quran authorizes lying in the Ninth Surah. But nonetheless, they'll believe it, and they will side with. So the majority of Jordanians are going to immediately side with the Islamic State against the existing dictatorial regime, and it's going to make it very easy for the Islamic State to take over Jordan. And they will do so. So it's interesting that it was a Jordanian attack that killed al-Baghdadi's sex toy and destroyed his property, although he was doing a very fine job of destroying that property himself. Jordanian U.S. officials have expressed doubt about the Islamic State's account of her death following 18 months as a sex slave. Listener said that Mueller's parents were told in a meeting in Washington of Mueller's abuse by al-Baghdadi and of her torture while held captive. Listener was not clear as to whether Baghdadi was responsible for torturing Mueller or whether he had his goons torture her so that she was fresh to be raped by him when he arrived. This is a related story. It reads, at least 3,144 Yazidis were being held by the self-styled Islamic State. Self-styled. Why would they call it self-styled? I mean, are we the self-styled United States? I mean, they are as Islamic as Islam can be. Are we going to say that Russia shouldn't be Russia because we want to give them a different name? Is Great Britain no longer Great Britain because we don't think they're great? Is France no longer France because we think there's a better name? By the self-styled Islamic State. Good grief. The New York Times reports, militant leaders cite the Quran in justifying the enslavement of women. No kidding, Sherlock. What was your first clue? The 5 billion times that's been affirmed for you? You know, immediately after 9/11, when I knew 1/1 billionth what I know about Islam today, and I was trying to figure out why Muslims flew planes into our buildings committing terrorist acts as suicide bombers while citing the Quran and Hadith and acknowledging, confessing to the crime by screaming out, Allahu Akbar, Allah is bigger, older, and greater. And so I met with members of Al-Qaeda. I met with them, members of the Aska Martyrs Brigade. I met with members of Hezbollah. And I asked them, these members of Fatah and Hamas, I asked them, why are you killing us? And what? Guess what? They all cited the Quran. They all cited Muhammad's example. The Quran justifies the enslavement of women and children. There are surahs in the Quran that actually speak of Allah aiding Muslims in the enslavement of women and children. And there are statements in the Quran that authorize the rape of slaves, the sexual abuse of slaves. That's rape. So not only are they citing the Quran in doing so, the Quran approves it. A wrenching story by the New York Times into the Islamic State's enslavement of and rape of women from the Yazidi minority group has shed light on one of the most disturbing aspects of its rule in Syria and Iraq. The practice, according to reporters, was formalized a year ago when Islamic State's a spokesperson announced that it was bringing institutionalized slavery back. Since then, an entire infrastructure, warehouses, buses, viewing rooms, has emerged to facilitate the trade of women and girls. Now, this is pervasive. This is not here and there. It's not. This is institutionalized. It's pervasive. There are warehouses that hold women and girls. There are buses that transport them. There are viewing rooms for Muslims to bid on them. And this is the sexual trade, the enslavement, the sex trade of women and little girls. But this notion that it was an outgrowth of the Islamic State is preposterous. It's an outgrowth of Islam. Muhammad engaged in this. Muhammad authorized this. The Quran speaks favorably of this. It is part of the fabric of the religion. You can't miss it. It's the reward for being an Islamic jihadist. It was Muhammad's personal indulgence. It's how Islam was built. It's how it was spread. And this notion that it was formalized a year ago, no, it was formalized 1,400 years ago. What's wrong with the New York Times? Why can't they do just a modicum of research? Have journalism? We have journalist schools today. Are they incapable of teaching a student how to be a journalist? To be a journalist, you do research. You find connections. You dig. And yet they are unwilling to do any of these things.
And you report facts. You don't report speculation, opinion, things like that. You report facts.
And this was not formalized a year ago. This wasn't institutionalized, bringing institutional slavery back. Institutionalized slavery has been part of Islam for 1,400 years. It's the basis of the American slave trade. It is the basis of the Quran and Hadith as they describe the beginnings of Islam. And the rape of women is part of the fabric of this religion, going all the way back to Muhammad himself. So why identify this with the Islamic State when Boko Haram is doing exactly the same thing and been doing it longer? Why identify this with Boko Haram and the Islamic State when the impetus for all of this, the justification for all of this, is the Quran and Hadith as it was dictated and lived by Muhammad and the first Muslims? You know, you don't have to be a genius. You don't have to even work that hard to find the proof. Prophet of Doom is the most comprehensive, the most chronological, the best documented presentation of Islam's five oldest sources. It documents what each of those sources are, how we came to have access to them, when they were written, by whom the Hadith statements were collected, and the two chronological accounts, the oldest, which is the Sirah, or the biography of Muhammad, by Ibn Ishaq, and the Tariq, which is the history of Islam's formation, were used because they're chronological to put the Quran, which is not chronological, into chronological order and to provide it context, putting it into the context of Muhammad's life. You'll find everything you need to know about kidnap, about enslavement, about mass murder, about torture, about the plight of women, about pedophilia, about rape. All of it's there. All it would take for a journalist working, if there were really actually a journalist working for the New York Times, to verify these things have their origins with Muhammad and the formation of Islam is about an hour's worth of time. It takes longer for them to file their story and to copy edit their story than it would be to actually do some research on the story. In an hour's time, they would have more quotes they could put in the article that demonstrate that this has its origins not a year ago in the Islamic State, but 1,400 years ago with the formation of Islam as it was lived and as it was taught by Muhammad himself. Do your job. A total of 5,270 Yazidis were abducted last year alone, and at least 3,144 are still being held, according to community leaders. To handle them, the Islamic State has developed a detailed bureaucracy of sexual slavery, including sales contracts notarized by the Islamic State. And the practice has become an established recruiting tool to lure men from deeply conservative Muslim societies where casual sex is taboo and dating is forbidden, but having sex with a slave, raping her, is considered appropriate. Can you imagine a religion that perverted, that reprehensible, that disgusting? And yet that is the nature of Islam. Do you care? Before we return to the Yazidi story as it's being improperly told by the New York Times, I do have an announcement. And that is that a very good friend of mine has a daughter that was born with some challenges. And as it would transpire, the medication that has been the most helpful to her has been an extract from hemp. And we've had Rob, who had tremendous health issues that were exacerbated by his doctors, who went to a medicinal hemp trial based upon his research and has enjoyed a full recovery of a blood-related issue and is now licensed to manufacture the hemp extract. And so my friend who with a daughter who needs a hemp extract wrote me a letter, Rob, yesterday or the day before, asking me if I had your contact information. So this is a long story, hoping that you're either listening live. If you are, please call us. If you're not, that you would send me an email with your contact information so I can put my good friend in contact with you. And my email is yada. And this is for anyone who is listening to this program. If you would like to communicate with me by email, it's yada, Y-A-D-A, at yada Yahweh, Y-A-D-A, Y-A-H-W-E-H dot com, yada at yada Yahweh dot com. So if you send me an email, Rob, I will, from Michigan, our hemp advocate and expert, turns out that there is a little girl who would benefit from what you know and what you produce and makes the that whole segment on hemp even more valuable. Please get in contact with us. Or if anybody listening to this program knows Rob's email, please forward it to me. The second announcement I'd like to make is that the new covers that Kirk has drawn for the three books, in one of them in two volumes, Questioning Paul, Introduction to God, and Yada Yah, are now complete. And I just received a letter this morning from the manager of Claritors.com that the new covers are ready and that the books can be purchased with them. He is also going to set up a standalone page that has all three books available that we can provide a link from our various websites directly to the place where all three books are located. And he is, in addition, considering publishing Prophet of Doom and Tea with Terrorists, even possibly in the company, if that has merit to for anyone. as part of the group of books, and has promised also that during the first month to offer a 15% discount over what I think is already an extraordinarily great value, considering the length of these books, averaging over 1,200 pages per volume. Anyway, the website is claritors.com, claitors.com. And if you go to that page and you search under my name, Craig Wynn, it'll take you directly to all three books. You can also search them by book title, but it'll just take you to one at a time, Yada Yah, Intro to God, or Questioning Paul. But if you search under my name, Craig Wynn, W-I-N-N, C-R-E-I-G-W-I-N-N, it will take you to all three books, and you can buy all three if that is of your interest, and also in the new beautiful covers that were designed and painted by Kirk. I do want to remind people, because it's important to me, that none of the proceeds comes to me, that this is just the cost to print the books, and for the printing company, which is in business to make money, for them to have their normal profit on books, which I think is probably quite low considering the value. But I get no royalty of any kind from these books, and will continue under that basis. So I'm not trying to sell you something here, but I can tell you that having a printed copy of these books is invaluable. And in particular, like, I am providing copies for both of my sons, and I'm going to provide copies for those that I know would be open to them, who would benefit from them. And it's a lot easier giving someone a hardback, a printed copy of a book to read and to study, than it is to tell them to go to a web page. So something to think about, claritors.com.